Hey everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. And boy howdy, things happened in this episode. And I could not be more excited. I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Morgan.
Hello.
And we have our friend Fabby.
Hey, it's me, it's your girl, it's the bear you dream about, it's the body pillow you need to buy. Hello, everyone.
Oh, I would buy a Fabby
body
pillow.
Yeah, people should. Yeah. Have one. You should make one and then send me, like, cut of the profits, but yeah.
Wrestling merch.
Admittedly, yeah. I think I've only had one dream about a bear, and it was not as nice as Fabby. It was like a nightmare.
I had my bad days.
It was a nightmare where the bear, like, it went to scream at me, and then It, like, its jaw opened up to, like, halfway down its body, and teeth were on it the whole way, like an alligator. And then I woke up, and I did not go back to sleep.
Like I said, I have bad days.
Yeah, that was you.
For the record, I am all bears in all dreams. So
okay,
if you ever
good,
see
good.
A bear in a dream, don't be scared, it's me.
Right.
So don't be scared, even if the bear has a jaw that goes all the way down.
No,
its body.
It's fine. I'm just yawning.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just sleepy.
I'm just eepy.
You know
I'm
what?
Just
I,
so
yeah,
eepy.
I should not be judgmental of gigantic mouth bears.
Yeah. So I will say, I think we won't have to lean as hard on what y'all been doing this week, which we've had to do a little last couple weeks because the episodes have been light on content. But we have to talk to Fabby about
Hello.
What she's been up to because I saw on the Twitter that you've been wrestling and you got your butt kicked, and I gotta know about that.
So if you're in Austin, there's this group called Fight Opera. They're basically a weird group of leftists and queers who put on wrestling shows about once every 3 months.
Okay.
I've been training with them since December, I want to say, and this was my first show with them. I did a couple of small bit parts. I carried a golden toilet into the ring. You can find the show, by the way. It's still currently up on, as of time of recording, it's still up on their Twitch because they streamed it, and it will be on their YouTube eventually. So, Fight Opera. This show was called Fight for Filth.
Okay.
So, yeah, no.
This icon is adorable.
I have a shirt with that. But yeah,
for folks at home, it's an adorable little goblin on a toilet.
With a porno mag.
That doesn't come through as well in the Twitch icon,
okay.
But I believe
in the
you.
Shirt, the mag, you can see XX titties or something on it.
Hell yeah. Go goblin.
Oh, spicy.
Yeah, so, yeah, no. So, this is a wrestling organization, but they're very much... If you're familiar with wrestling, think of Chikara, but for adults, catering for adults. If you're not familiar with wrestling, think about what if an Adult Swim show was a wrestling show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the energy they have. So, like I said, the show started with me and three other people carrying a golden toilet into the ring. We were all wearing togas. We brought it in. Like I said, you can watch it on Twitch. And then a giant skeleton who's the co-owner turned around and was very angry about the toilet and told us that he had sold all his shares to Boner. the bone only, no epidermis re-education.
Good, yes.
Yeah. He did it because he grew skin and decided that...
Oh, God.
He grew skin last show.
okay.
The idea of a skeleton man simultaneously, quickly growing
skin
is very upsetting. I don't like it.
It's a giant skeleton, for the record. It's a giant skeleton who's next to the ring. It's an amazing prop. And anyway, he sold all his shares to basically an edutainment in AI and content company, who are the bad guys.
Oh, God.
That went great in Austin, by the way.
I bet,
We had like a chant of fuck content for a while. It was amazing.
Austin's a big tech hub.
It's a big tech company. Yeah, it's a big tech city. So they say that was like the plot of the show, right? And then, like, the two, like, queer baby faces, one who's a trans mask and the other one is non-binary, came in and, like, no, we're going to fight for the soul of Phi Opera. We're going to fight for Feld. And that was, like, the big thing. And this matters because there's a bunch of, I could go through the card, but you should go watch it. There's a bunch of stuff. I come back under a lucha mask, which I bought for training, because I wear a wig, as you may know, and I wanted to be able to, like, roll around and do stuff, so I put on a lucha mask for training. So I come out in a lucha mask with another guy. I'm doing yo-yo tricks, by which I mean I'm playing with a yo-yo. I'm not really doing any trick. I'm just playing with a yo-yo. And we come in and we start being like, hey, we're from Boner. We're wearing the Boner shirts. We are here to educate you. We're here to entertain you. We're here to do edutainment, where we're gonna do yo-yos, juggling, and juggling yo-yos. So I was doing yo-yo tricks and saying yo-yo facts.
Mm-hmm. I feel like people who might be from, I don't know how like far this went.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was an In Canada 2 thing, but in the 90s, for some friggin' reason, like if you went to public school in America, you almost certainly saw multiple yo-yo based like assemblies at your school where they would come out and be like, let's yo-yo and tell you why you shouldn't do drugs. And I don't understand why it happened.
That's basically the energy
we're
going for.
Yeah, I figured that was the take.
That was the energy we were going for. I didn't know. So for the record, behind the scenes, all I was told was like, hey, you're going to do some yo-yo tricks and say some facts. And I was like, sure. And I was like, oh, we'll practice a day off. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Day off happens, and they're like, okay, so you're gonna do yo-yo tricks and pass the microphone back and forth between you two. And I'm like, should we do a practice? And they're like, no, it'll be fine. Cool. No practice. I'm like behind the curtain waiting. They play our music, or what we think is our music, because we can't hear very well. And we're like, should we go? Should we go? Fuck it. Let's go. We go in. For some reason, I was like, sure, I'm just gonna get in. I should just get the clip up and we should watch it together. Actually, that's what I should do.
We should definitely at least have it available for the stream. I think it takes place somewhere around an hour 40 in the show, it looks like.
Yeah, it's also, if you go to clips...
Definitely see a girl in a lucha mask doing yo-yo tricks.
Yeah, that's me.
Yay.
Yeah, let's just do this shit. Let me see.
Why not?
So these are the commentators. One of them is a ghost. Ghost referee. Okay. Other one, little Aiden, is a child who was left in a show, and they're now a commentator.
That's very funny.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And so I'm in the back. We didn't get told when to go. That's our music. We can barely hear. We're like, are we supposed to go? They're not like announcing it. Fuck it. Let's just fucking go. So, like, is that us? And then we come out.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the shirts are very Dare adjacent, which also fits.
That's 100% the point. There's a skeleton with skin in the background, by the way.
I have seen this skimming through. That is definitely a prop. That is pretty ridiculous.
So it's us. I have no idea what we're doing.
This music is ridiculous, by the way.
It's very funny music. So it was like, I was gonna say, I like jumped through the side because we didn't practice our entrance. So I just jumped through under the ring, and I'm like, sure. I've never been so agile in my fucking life.
It looks good.
When you're in it, when you're in the moment, you have the adrenaline, and it's really good. We never practice any of this.
It's very good. I'm enjoying it.
So I'm like, sure, Yo-Yo's a clean game. And I'm like, in Portuguese, Yo-Yo's known as El Jogo Bonito, which is a joke I say about Mario Party all the time.
Okay.
Like, Mario Party is El Jogo Bonito. And then I'm like, Yo-Yo should be on Olympic sport. And then I'm like, I keep trying to pass the thing to the other guy, but he's not
but
saying
he's busy
shit.
Juggling.
Well, he's juggling, which,
He's just juggling the yo-yos, and I'm like, fuck. And then of course, we get the music of the good guys.
I do love the table that is just sitting here completely unmolested through
this.
Yeah,
that's because the next segment after this is going to be like a talk show, but yeah. Sweet Tough and Crybaby show up. Sweet Tough is, but they them, I believe. Crybaby is he him. Crybaby's the shorter one. And I put the microphone down, by the way, when the camera moved. And then I get pushed. I'm hanging. And then, boom, back of the head.
Yeah, you got hit with a big stick.
A big Kindle stick, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about that is that it wasn't supposed to be the back of the head. That hurts.
Okay. Okay.
I had a small concussion. It happens. It was supposed to be my back. You're supposed to get hit in the back with a candlestick. We can pause it now, but yeah.
Okay.
You're supposed to get hit in the back because that's like your body's big.
Right.
It's gonna distribute.
Yeah.
There's a lot more muscle there.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, I meet the guy playing Sweet Tough. And they're like, it was me, the guy that was with doing the other yo-yo stuff, and them, and they're like, cool, so what do we want to work this out? And the other guy's like, I haven't gotten thrown out of the ring, throw me out of the ring. And I'm like, hell yeah, throw me out of the ring too. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, throw me out of the ring. They're like, I have a candlestick. I'm like, yeah, hit me with the candlestick. That'd be great. And then later on, Sam, who I did know, Sam is the trans dude, sure guy who plays Crybaby, who I've been training with. He's one of my trainers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Sam, and Sam's like, I'll just push you and you get out of the ring. And I'm like, no, like, hit me with a candlestick or throw me out. He's like, I'm not going to throw you out. I'll hit you with a candlestick. Are you sure? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, yes, please. And we practiced it. He hit me in the back. Like before the show, he hit me in the back. It went great. It's like, yeah, no, it's fine. Let's do it. I'm like, I don't feel a lot of pain in certain parts of my body. And I'm like, no, I'm good. This is great. I'm going to get hit with a candlestick in a wrestling show. Are you kidding me? This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, makes a good noise, too.
It makes a good noise. So, I'm like, hell yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm?
Sorry, I just saw him hit you in the back of the head.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, the thing happens. We're in there. They come in. He pushes me, and I had told him before, like, okay, you push me, and I'm going to be hanging for the thing, and then just hit me. So he pushes me, and I'm hanging, and that looks great. That looks amazing.
That's a good one.
I was worried it would look fake, which is a funny thing for wrestling, but it looks great. I'm hanging, and then all I feel is a big hit on the back of my head.
Oh.
Yeah. And my immediate thing is, oh, he hit my back and missed. Like, immediately my head goes, oh, he must have hit my shoulder and, like, got in a little bit of my head, and I just didn't feel the shoulder part.
Yeah.
It's fine. So the moment I get hit, I throw myself down on the floor. Never been more agile in my life. Throw myself down on the floor. I roll out. You can't see it, but, like, I roll out, and then I leave holding my head, and then they throw the other guy over the top rope. I grab him, like, my friend. I've never talked to this guy before. I grab him, like, my friend, come on, let's go. We leave. And then I am looking at the video, and no, straight to the back of the head. Sam just went like, cool.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Just letting you know.
Not what we practiced.
In the back of the head.
Yeah.
I know I asked for it. He's like, no, I'm sorry. I was like, yeah, I know you didn't do it on purpose. Just letting you know. Straight up back of the head.
I think people who don't know much about wrestling might not know that, like, I feel like a lot of people assume that, like, the hits are literally, like, not hits, like yeah. you're doing on like behind them or something. Until
you can
that's
only
not
fake
the case.
So much.
Yeah, like you.
Yeah. It,
the training is to yeah. to minimize.
Yeah,
all that
take,
stuff.
Take the hits, fine. Like
right.
The thing that wrestling is, the thing that I always tell people is like, if what you might think like an arm throw, like oh I grab someone by the arm and throw them around, you'd be like oh you need to be very strong. No, all you do is you grab someone by the arm and then you throw yourself on the floor.
Right.
And then the
yeah.
person jumps over you.
Yes.
It's dancing. You're doing dancing.
Right.
But
yeah.
when it comes to something like candlestick shots, there's no I and then I make the sound of getting hit in my head does the thing where it pretends to no, like I got hit.
Right. Like there
yeah.
are tricks.
Yeah.
I know like there's like
yeah.
kicks where it's like you're kind of slapping your thigh
yeah,
while you're
yeah,
doing
you can
it
definitely
to make
do that.
It louder.
And like with a candlestick,
yeah.
the
or
trick
you're slamming
is
the ground
yeah.
as you're punching
yeah.
or something. There's...
With the candlestick, the trick is you hit a very large part of body so that
yeah.
the candlestick goes like the hit is distributed evenly.
Yeah.
The worst thing you want, for the record, even worse than what I got, is. It's like you get thrown on the floor and they start hitting you a candlestick or something and you get hit on the hand.
I was going to say, your hand's going to break. That's
yeah,
not
yeah. that's
good.
The
yeah.
worst because especially if you get hit on a finger or something, right? There's
yeah.
not nowhere to cushion that.
Your head
yeah.
is at least tough, even though
yeah,
you don't want to get
a little
hit there.
Bit, yeah.
yeah.
So ideally you want to get hit on the back or on the front even. Those you can deal with them and they look great.
I was gonna say for what it worth, what
yeah.
it's worth. I saw
yeah,
this.
It looked cool,
and I thought it was fully on purpose. So
yeah,
like,
no,
you,
it looked
y'all
great.
Did a great job. So
yeah, no,
congratulations.
Shoutouts to Marie, who I came back to the back, and then she was like, "Okay, I'm gonna," because she was there supporting me because she's amazing. But she was there in the back. She's like, "Cool, just gonna stay with you. Make sure you don't have a concussion."
That's really good of her.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I told this story but on this show before, but a couple years ago I was jogging past like a new subdivision that was going up near me, and they had like a temporary stop sign where a permanent one was going to go up, and
yeah.
it was still like the full size
mm-hmm.
and the metal stop sign. It's just it wasn't in the ground like – like concrete in, it was just kind of stuck in there.
Yeah.
And it did fall on my head as I was jogging past
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
I don't think I got a concussion, but I was like a mile and a half away from my house and I had to run/walk back. And it was not very fun. So I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, the only time I'm pretty sure I got a concussion was a couple weeks ago during training. I was fine when it happened. When I was training and falling, I was fine. Maybe a little sore, but fine. It wasn't
yeah.
until afterwards I went home
yeah.
and me and Marie started playing Canadian Highlander, which is a
mm-hmm.
very like mentally taxing variant of Magic the Gathering. Especially,
okay.
like, I was playing a combo deck, so I was, like, thinking very much. Then I started feeling very dizzy, very woozy,
yeah.
very disoriented, and I was like, oh, I think I got a concussion,
oh,
and
no.
I activated it by playing Magic, which
that's
is the most
the nerdiest and
the
most
world.
You thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, be safe, but I'm
yeah,
glad you're doing
yeah.
some cool stuff that you're
yeah.
you're having a good time with. And yeah, we'll put the link in there so people
yeah,
can go check out.
The whole show is really fun. It includes an opossum man fighting his inner demons and also like corporate America.
I mean, aren't all of our inner demons also corporate America? I guess those
point,
are our outer demons.
At one point, he gets put on. They at one point the villain puts a like call center headset on him, and he starts having like traumatic flashbacks of escalating calls in the middle of the
oh
ring.
Oh my god, that's
oh,
so
no.
No, it's great. And the whole story is like, oh, you say you're the Opossum King, but like, who were you before? And then very funny. And then he gets hit with a box of tax receipts. of tax records, and he and tax records, and he starts having to do taxes in the middle of the ring, and that was popping because those were my receipts, random receipts, because there were. He was like, "Hey, does anyone have receipts?" And me oh and Marie God, with her so dirty ass car, I was like, "We have a shitload of receipts in the back from fast
food." That's very good.
Well, and then the last bit of that was he starts wrestling a printer. Because it has a paper jam, it's great. There's fake toner that explodes at one point.
This
it's
does,
a good show.
I watched like one or two Chikara shows because people mentioned it to me, and that is what that sounds like.
Match. So. I should also give shout outs to the first match. It's a Sesame Street fight.
Okay.
With in
all
the
right,
wrestlers,
sure.
Yeah, wrestlers are Bull Train, a train teamed heel who is here to talk about train law.
Okay,
he's great. And his opponent, the real boy, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead is a puppet.
If you move
to the beginning of this, let me see, when would be around 20 minutes. You can see Uncle Jose holding Pumpkinhead, and this is a match, a man against a very real boy, I mean a puppet. It's a street fight. It's a no-rules hardcore match. At one point, Pumpkinhead gets a spork and starts rubbing the spork. This is a puppet, by the way. The puppet starts rubbing the spork across the forehead of Bull Train. Bull Train does like a DDT suplex on the puppet. Looks great.
If you're having trouble visualizing this, it is... I initially assumed when Fabi was describing it that it was a man fighting himself with a puppet.
No,
but it's another person using a puppet.
Yeah, using that's right. Uncle Jose, who's Pumpkinhead's uncle and caretaker.
When he does top rope moves, he just throws the puppet. It's really good. I'm really enjoying this.
That whole match is amazing. It's one of my favorites. If you want to jump to like 31:50, he has set up a real actual tunnel. It's a table with a tunnel painted on it.
The corner, Wile E. Coyote style.
And brought a bag full of train tracks.
Because
it's on the thumbtack thing, but with train tracks.
Very good.
It's an amazing match, and like these two men and this one real boy do an amazing. Like, you might be like, oh, the guy who's the holding the puppet, maybe he's not doing anything.
He's
jumping around. Yeah. He's throwing himself around, but he's doing a really good job of like not being in the way in a weird way.
Yes,
like a puppet.
It's like he's just there. It's really impressive. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Shout out to them.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had fun. I hope you get to do more.
I also hope I get to do more.
We'll definitely ask you about it.
It was a highlight of my life as someone who's always loved wrestling. I loved Lucha Libre all my life since I was a kid. Considered doing training and even started training a couple times in my life and life got in the way to have a place where if you wanted to do training normally, that would be expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
'Cause that's how a lot of wrestlers make money is they charge a lot to train people. I have gotten so lucky that I have wonderful trainers who are only helping me out of the kindness of their heart. Because they want more people to be part of the show. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I am very lucky to have this opportunity, and I had a fucking blast.
Well,
that's
congratulations.
Great.
I'm really glad. Glad your head is okay also.
Yeah.
Thank you. Also, fun fact, in this show, at one point, a person does a powerbomb where they do a powerbomb on top of another person. The person who did this has a gimmick that they're like, kind of like a Resident Evil zombie with a mask and big gauntlets. Okay. That's my actual factual boss of my day job.
That rules.
He's also a wrestler here. It was very funny. When he did that, cool. I was like just popping in the back with my wife. I was like, that's my boss. He signs my paycheck.
Awesome. Yeah, well, with great. Let's see. Morgan, did you have anything that you were up to this week you want to talk about?
It's just work and reading Sisters of Dorley Hall. And
Yo, Sisters of Dorley Hall!
Unless you want me talking about the Force Femme Dungeon, I think we can... Sisters of Dorley Hall...
I love talking about the Force Femme Dungeon.
The Force Femme Dungeon's pretty good.
So, okay, I'm sorry, Seth. Give me one sec. I don't know if we... You and I talk about... I think I recommended Sisters of Dorley Hall to you, probably.
No, my friend Quinn did.
I may have also... You should check our DMs. I may have
also... It's not complete, which is one of the reasons you wouldn't have suggested it to me.
That's true.
Because I have a stated position I like to read complete stories, so I don't get stuck in them.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
This story is not over. This story will not be over for years.
Yeah, they keep going.
Fabi, we talked about Morgan losing sleep to
same
fanfics and stuff over the last couple of
years. Previously, it was the trans Christmas anthology. Sisters of Dorley Hall is... surprisingly engaging.
Have you talked about Sisters of Dorley Hall here?
No. This, oh my, we need to talk about it.
I'm sorry, but we need to talk about it.
I started it after last show. I have read it all now.
We like legitimately? Zach, please. Legitimately, we need to talk about this.
Give me the short version, because we do got to talk about the show.
So the short version is, there is an egg. They have gone out, and they are going to the store. They run into their childhood friend...
Yeah.
But it's a girl. And they thought it was a boy. Fast forward 6 years, they're like, okay, I have my friend's name. I know where she went to school. I will clearly hunt this place down because it is a place that is helping trans girls transition secretly.
Also, for the record, the friend was presumed dead.
Presumed dead.
Yeah. So she goes and she starts hunting and she can't find shit. So she gets drunk one night at a party, and she blabs about like this like weird conspiracy theory she has that there's a place in campus where they grab people.
It's not even that. She, the girl that she is drinking with just says, oh, you don't need to walk me back. I live at this place. And she's like, oh, I've heard stories of that place. Bam! She is tasered, knocked out, and dragged into the Force Femme dungeon.
Oh no!
Yes.
As it turns out,
the way that the Dorley Hall works is that the premise of this fanfic is that there is a place in a college where they take people who are a danger to themselves and others in society, people who have abused people who have hurt people
who send dick pics, people who beat
who
their
send
wife.
Dick pics, people who've done revenge porn, people it varies from like have assaulted
specifically
someone,
not rapists, serial murderers, people who are
drunk driving
is a big one,
killed someone with drunk driving,
but it is people who have been poisoned by toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Okay.
And
there is a dorm in this college where in the basement they force femme these people because they have decided, they have taken upon themselves that they seem not to be able to be non-toxic men.
Okay.
So we're gonna turn them into women. That's the premise. And you need to know that there's a long history of media like this made by cis people. There's a long history.
Yeah, it doesn't sound completely.
Go to Fiction Mania. They're garbage stories.
Yeah, there's garbage. Sure. They're garbage movies. Pedro Almodovar has one with like fucking Antonio Banderas doing this to a guy. It's a bad movie. This is the first time I've seen this plot, which has been done to that.
Yes. Done. I have read this story before. I stopped reading these stories.
This is the first time I've seen it done in a with a trans lens through it. And they take a time to go like, okay, is this wrong or is this right? What's the right choice?
Right.
What do you do when you have people like this Is the moral choice to force fend someone?
Now, quick question. Yeah. Is the main character's crime only that they know about this and we're going to, like,
tell people? They're in the wrong place in the wrong time.
Yeah, okay. And also, yeah, that seems bad.
And also, very importantly, the main character wants this.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Because this takes place in England, if they were trying to get care, they would never get care so fast and so free.
Right.
The story makes a big point of, like, she realizes this is a mistake, but doesn't say anything.
Oh, I
see. Because she's like, I'm going to get a free medical procedure.
Free top surgery, free FFS.
Free recovery.
Free everything.
Free everything.
And then it covers tuition after that.
Yeah.
Wild.
All I have to do is pretend to be a horrible person.
Yeah,
and she is very bad at it.
Yeah. I need to catch up because I stopped after, like, the Big Bang hit. Morgan will know what I'm talking about.
Big Bang? Oh, the Big like the Christmas banquet?
Yeah, the Christmas banquet. That's the last I read.
Oh, you're okay.
I haven't read in a couple months, for the record.
Okay, so you've met Val.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
You don't know who Diana is.
No, I don't know who Diana is.
Okay. Dang.
Because, for
the
record,
I cared about Diana.
The
story made me care about Diana.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I also don't like reading shit when it's not done. So I do the second best thing, which is ignore something. Read something, catch up, ignore it for months, and then catch up again.
That's how I do with comics, comics, because they're pretty slow. So it's
I can't do weekly. I can't do per updates. So in
these
a
chapters
year,
also
I'll
take like
on,
each chapter takes a good hour and a half to read.
That's
by this point,
also
they're
how
long
I do
chapters.
That's also how I do actual play podcasts because it's like a lot of them are an hour and they're like every other week, and it's like, I need to just wait for like half a year until there's a build-up.
But yeah, if you like Sisters of Dorley Hall, not this season in Eidolon, but keep an eye on Eidolon and my characters in the future.
There you go.
That's all I'm going to say.
Cool.
My plan for the next main series Eidolon character is heavily, heavily influenced by Sisters of Dorley Hall.
Wild.
Which character specifically?
The one that I haven't talked about, that we haven't said what the season is.
Okay.
The next one after we're done with Disco and Ska.
Cool.
Okay.
We'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
No one knows anything of that season, I believe. We haven't announced the teams or anything, but we're in pre-production.
Oh, wow.
That. We're like figuring out, like, hey, what's the story we're telling? And I know what my character is, and my character is heavily, heavily. The thing I wasn't sure. I'm gonna say as little as possible without spoiling too much. It's a different setting that we've done for a main story of Eidolon. It's very different in tone and mood.
Cool.
And I was having a hard time figuring out what story to tell. And then I thought about Sisters of Dorley Hall, and it somehow fits.
I'm glad
this
we
setting.
Talked about this. Then,
as long as you're not playing a Melissa, we're fine.
Because
fuck Melissa.
Yeah.
Melissa just makes mistakes on purpose.
Yeah, no, I'm... The closest would be, like, I'm playing one of the people that are in that basement, basically.
Okay.
One of the nameless ones we never hear about them. That's kind of like...
You're an Ollie, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
Yes, that I will very quickly just say I've been playing a lot of that new
Final Fantasy?
Prince of Persia.
It's,
that people
that looks good.
Like, and it's good. And mine is not as interesting as y'all's, but that's okay because it's time finally to talk about.
Is it?
I just real quick, if you haven't
Does
heard of it.
Does their adventure have a Force Femme dungeon?
It would be such a better place.
But just
Please
real quick.
Go on.
It's called Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, and if you like Metroidvanias, you should check it out because it's a good one of those. This is finally, sorry, I'm not complaining. This was very interesting. It's just now it's time to talk about Power Rangers.
I didn't expect us to talk about a thing I've been thinking of for over a year.
And I wanted to hear about it.
I haven't talked to anyone about it. I was there when that shit started.
I think it's really funny that Morgan mentioned it and you totally freaked out, which was very cute.
Because of pre-production, it's a thing I've been thinking about a lot.
I gotcha.
It is also very engaging.
Well, good. I'm glad. This was surprisingly engaging because, Fabi, I'll tell you real quick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes on this show, I feel like listeners know, we give a lot of credit to an episode because it's like halfway competent. And guess what? I'm going to be doing that for this one. Because
this episode's halfway competent.
Because
compared to some of the last ones, this one is like... This is 75% competent.
The last two or three episodes have been very, we're just, Fabi, the last one you were on, I think, was the first episode where it got Lost Galaxy.
I feel that the last episode I was in, which is the first one when they entered Lost Galaxy, was last episode based on this previously on.
You're correct. You've missed literally nothing. Nothing happened.
They showed up, they got here, they learned to follow the problems, and now they're getting out.
It was literally just fights, basically. Yeah, a lot of it repurposed Sentai footage, which is obviously what the whole show is, but
You put a story in that shit.
Right. So,
You at least do the story from the Sentai.
This is episode 42, Escape the Lost Galaxy. And
I think the last time I was here was Welcome or Enter the Lost Galaxy.
I believe you're correct, yes.
I'm here.
You're fine having skipped the entire Lost Galaxy because it is time for getting the bucket, losers.
Yeah. I'm here to bookend the fucking Lost Galaxy saga.
Yes, and Barbarax, I think, is his name.
That is correct.
He has a bucket, and he wants you to get in the bucket.
He loves slaves.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about in this episode. I feel bad for taking too much.
It's okay.
But, I need to talk about how much I love the bucket. I need to talk about the fact that they all turn into slime while in the bucket.
Yes, so we start with a battle... and the Rangers are fighting off Swabbies, but Barbarax.
I wanted to ask. This is in media rest. This is not continuing from.
No, this is media rest. Yeah, amazing. We just got to fight.
The bucket.
Yeah.
The bucket has never been here before.
We've never seen this bucket.
Stories. Barbarax storytelling
is he opens this bucket, and it basically is like a Ghostbusters trap, but it turns people into slime.
It's a visual effect
that looks like Nickelodeon GAC if it was made of CG.
Yes. And as Morgan pointed out, this continues this arc's tradition of just using the word slave a lot. And it's weird. I was thinking about this because I made a question post for this episode, and I was going to ask us about inappropriate themes for kids shows. And then I thought about it, I was like, it's not really that it's inappropriate. It's okay to show a story about, good to show a story about people who are being oppressed or used and fight off their captors. That's great. It's just weird that they keep saying slaves over and over and over again.
I think the real problem is that this big rubber monster says, "You're my slaves."
Yes.
And then some motherfucker pirate putties with striped shorts and a fake mustache.
Don't come in here bad-mouthing the Swabbies after all this time. Swabbies.
I love the Swabbies. They're amazing. But, I think that's what hit me, the juxtaposition of going, "You're my slave. You're slave camp."
I was trying to think of, stuff like the other stuff that does this. And I've been rewatching the Avatar cartoon because that live action thing that's really bad.
I have heard bad things only.
It's not good.
Fabi, hot take? It was fine. As someone who couldn't finish the first season of Avatar because ADHD brain reasons, having it condensed into 10 episodes?
That's fair.
It was fine. I'm not like, oh my god, it's so amazing, like a lot of people do of the anime, of course.
Sure.
I'm just like, oh, sure. It was Power Ranger levels fine.
Okay. That's
fair. It was just as good as this episode.
But what I was going to say is that there's a bit where they help a bunch of people escape basically like a labor camp.
Yeah.
But there's two things that are the major differences. One is that they call them prisoners. And the other is that they the Fire Kingdom in that show is bad. They're bad guys and they're not really portrayed as goobers.
Episode one, they commit a genocide. The leader of the bad guy says, remember, no survivors?
Yeah, they're not good.
And I went like, oh, this is Power Rangers.
Well, yes, just, so I think you're right. Part of it is that the bad guys are so goofy, and then when they call people slaves, it's weird.
Yeah.
And they keep doing it.
A lot of the terminology is very generic. They talk about sending people to cells, and it's not really cells.
Yeah.
Like, the special cell is a stockade.
Yeah.
Also, classic 90s, you can't say kill.
Destroy.
And there is a scene later where she's like, if you don't mine for gold, they're going to destroy you. And it's like, no, they're just going to leave you out in the sun.
This is what if you had to do Spartacus for babies in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much.
Get what you get.
But I do love the slave bucket, which I started to call it that, it was like, I wish I hadn't said that, but that's what it's called.
So that is exactly what it is.
It's the slave bucket.
And so he puts people in this bucket, and then we see the glorious return of the flying rowboat. God, I love it so much. I'm so glad it's back.
The flying rowboat's so right. Has it not been here since I was not here?
I seriously, I'm not even, I don't think that they're the worst episodes we've ever covered or anything, but, we watched that episode where they get here, and it's so fun, and then, none of that fun is in the next, three or four.
The energy
episodes.
Does not carry over.
I can't believe that me and the fucking flying rowboat have the same amount of episode appearances.
Yes.
In the past couple months. Wild.
So they get back in there and take off. And Mike, Magna Defender, is like, oh, we've got to stop him. And guess what? It's a Mike episode, which is kind of fun, actually, because he hasn't gotten that much screen time
recently.
He's
very much generic action military dude, and not in the worst way possible.
He's all right.
My big question is, has it been established previously that nobody knows the identity of the Magna Defender?
I think so, because the people who run Terra Venture don't know who the rest of the Power Rangers are for sure.
I'm not talking about the people who run Terra Venture. I'm talking about Captain Mutiny and that gang. Because after the opening, the crux of Mike's plan is, mm-hmm, I need to get captured, but only I can get captured because they don't know who I am.
They know who all of y'all are, he basically says.
It's never come up before, other than the fact that Mike just kind of doesn't do a lot and he sits in the control room all the time.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right? That's funny, because I just assumed that happened in the episodes I missed.
No. I feel like since Rita, mm-hmm, most of the villains just don't care what the identity of the Rangers is. Like, at least they don't ever try to find out, really. It's interesting. The secret identity is only really against other people. It's not ever really protecting them from the bad guys most of the time. Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to a scene of everybody talking. This is another thing that I was like, and I know we're on a bi-weekly schedule because it's just, we're adults, it's hard to record, and I appreciate very much the people who are listening and glad that you're okay with the bi-weekly schedule. It does mean that we're on a, you know, we're watching one of these every 2 weeks. And that also means I was thinking and I was like, I feel like it's been 2 months or more on this show since we've had a scene of all the Rangers talking like unmorphed. That's literally how long it's been.
We've had a couple of group shots, but it's definitely been a while since everybody was in the same room.
Yes,
I'm thinking of the Sleepy Flower episode.
That's true.
Where like a bunch of people are in a room talking, but then there's a bunch of people just passed out in the corner because everyone's first instinct is to shove your nose in the flowers, even after you've watched somebody shove their nose in the flowers and pass out.
Yeah, hey, I will correct myself. There was one fun thing where there was a flower that was enchanted to make people fall asleep, and these idiots just kept smelling it as hard as they could. So that was pretty fun. So in any case, yes, this is where Mike is saying that his cool plan is to get captured and taken to the slave camp. And the other thing is that, and then he's going to help them break out. Now, what I thought was actually kind of interesting is this, I think, is the first time where a Sixth Ranger justifies why he has to go do something by himself, being because you guys can't use your cool powers if one of you isn't there, which actually is a pretty good justification. Yeah. I don't think they ever use that in, like, you know, like, Tommy was never like, no, Jason can't come with me because then you can't make the Megazord. Like, I don't think they ever did that. But it kind of makes sense. Yeah, he says you can't use the lights of Orion if any of you come with me, so I have to go alone. Barbrax comes down again. There's a really good shot of him, dropping a... He's like flies and he's carrying a bunch of the swabbies like Barrel of Monkeys, the old like little game where you hook a lot of little plastic monkeys together, except it's swabbies, and then he drops them all. It's very funny. And then Mike gets up into a group of civilians and gets captured in the slave bucket that turns you into slime. I don't really know why it does that part, but that's fine.
They need a visual effect. In the bucket. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, okay, sure.
How is a person going to fit in there if they are not slime?
That's
answer
true.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Do you think the Pokemon get turned into slime to go in the Pokeball?
They get turned into light. We've seen that in the animated cartoon. That is an answered question.
Light is just non-viscous slime, really.
Okay.
Okay. That's my story.
I need a shirt that says that and then Fabby 2024 on it. Barbrax, first of all, the shot of, I want the shot of the floating rowboat going through space next to the slave planet airbrushed onto my van. So that's a thing that I want, please. And then also, they land.
We'll talk to your wife about it.
Okay. First, I'll have to buy a van. And Barbrax is like, hey, Captain Mutiny, I got you some more guys.
He's like, more slaves.
What kind of guys? And he's like, slaves. And he's like, yes, good. That's the kind I wanted.
We love slaves here.
Uh-huh. It's my slave camp. Don't
slaver us.
Mistake it. It's just they keep saying it.
They do.
They go ahead.
They get brought in to dig up jewels. But this plays into my theory that all of the jewels on this planet have been buried by Captain Mutiny, and he just likes watching people pick them out, because they are all perfectly milled stones.
Yeah.
They are not pulling them out of rocks. They are pulling them out of the sand.
Yes. It's either that, which I think yours is more likely, but I also like mine, or this planet has naturally occurring like coins in the ground and like cut
that
diamonds.
Could be it.
It's one or the other.
I've been watching a lot of Dungeon Meshi. They're treasure bugs, actually. Yes. With bugs that look like treasures. That could be
and they're
it.
Delicious.
Yeah.
That show is good. So I really like it.
This show's pretty good. This show's pretty good.
I love the dwarf guy. Senshi?
Yeah, real good.
Senshi. God, yeah. For real, if you look like Senshi, get in my fucking DMs. And if you look like Senshi, also get in my fucking DMs.
Yes.
Either or. I'll take either or at this point.
So the good part about all this slave stuff is that we get Mike in his
I'm gonna cut that out of context.
Okay, great.
You saying good. The good part of all the slave stuff.
Okay, good. Thanks. I'm glad.
I will agree with you that him in the tank top looks like a real thing that a human would wear, as opposed to his like Starfleet uniform, which looks like he took his younger brother's t-shirt and is wearing it.
Yes.
And just is not willing to buy a bigger shirt.
It's also it also is funny because it retroactively made me think, like, weirdly it never really occurred to me in like the first couple seasons where Jason and Tommy were constantly in red and green tank tops. I don't think I've ever actually seen a red, like, I mean, I've seen a tank top, but not like that style, like I forget what they're called now, the way to say it that's not the old term for it that's not good anymore.
I funny enough, I own a red one of those.
Okay.
Because I got it at Walmart.
They're usually white or black, I feel like, and I hadn't really ever considered that.
Colors, I know... I have one that's more of a maroon.
Okay.
But again, it's women's fashion versus men's.
A Power Rangers red one.
That's awesome. I just don't think I see them that often.
Yeah, no. I got a Walmart when I was early in my transition because it was very cheap. It was in the women's section, so it gave me like, cool, I'm buying women's clothes. And it's just a tank top. But I'm like, cool, I'm buying women's clothes. And it's perfectly fine.
But he is in a black one, and it looks pretty good. He's also very sweaty and dirty. Anyway, he's digging up gems with everybody else, and Barbarax is hassling this old man.
Grandpa.
He shoves a grandpa to the ground, and he's like, "You've only got four. You've only got four gushers in this bucket." He's like, I'm trying. They're just little plastic gems. They kind of look like gushers.
It's very funny that it does really feel like these people are being starved and suffered over children's toys.
Well, and also, like, I know it's pirate, like, kids' version of pirates are kind of always this way. But, like, what are you doing with the treasure? It doesn't seem like anything. You just kind of want to have it, I guess.
As I said, this is all just like his weird fetish thing where he just wants a bunch of people to dig things up and that's just his thing.
Yeah. I like, it's like, I like it in like more recent interpretations of dragons. It's in a lot of places it'll be like, yeah, the dragons love to sit on treasure, but it's either like part of their biology or like a weird religious thing for them. Like there's some reason that's not just like, I just want to have it.
I love weird religious thing where dragons are like, no. If I die, I need to have a pile of treasure. Otherwise, I'm not getting
go to dragon heaven.
Go.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's important.
It's like Ferengi heaven.
Yes, but Captain Mutiny... Well, maybe Captain Mutiny wants to go to Pirate Heaven and he has to have so many jewels. Or he can't go to Pirate Heaven, which I guess is basically that island from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies where they just drink all day. So anyway, he pushes this old man down and the girl who is next to... Mike, goes to stop. What happens?
You mean this is an established character that we've known for the past couple of episodes?
No, this is
a new random character.
Brand new character. So, old man gets pushed over. Mike sees it, not pleased. Girl who is specifically chained to him, falls over. He tries to help her up. She's like, don't help me
up. Don't help me.
That's right.
That's how, like, pity has no place here.
They'll destroy us both.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And then what happens is that Mike puts all of his jewels into the old man's bucket so that he won't get in trouble. But then Mike doesn't have any gems in his bucket. And so he gets yelled at by Barbrax, and he's like, I'm going to set an example of you. And he hits him and then says, this is what happens if you don't pull your weight. I also have to point out really quickly, and he's about to kill him, but this woman says, hey, no, don't, he's new. And then she actually does a pretty good, like she basically appeals to, like, to him as their, you know, pit boss, and is like, oh, you know, he's new, but you other slaves, you keep in mind you work for Captain Mutiny now. And Barbarax is like, yeah, that's right. Okay, fine. You're good. You did good yelling at everybody else. This is where I noticed that this woman has basically like a short sleeve t-shirt, but then like the distance between short sleeves and long sleeves is then made up by like chainmail sleeves. Did y'all notice this?
And no.
Yes.
Not.
Yes, it is.
No, I did not notice. Oh,
okay.
It,
well,
saying.
It's really.
I believe you.
It's cool.
Oh,
I kind of
wow,
want
you're
it.
Right,
to
you're
be
right.
Honest.
Great.
She's got like a chainmail tunic on underneath her.
Yes.
Overalls.
I never considered it, so I just didn't see it. I was blind to it.
No, that's fine. I thought I just thought you were telling me no. That's you're wrong. And I was like, okay, well, it is weird.
Wow,
so maybe I just.
Why did we invite her?
No.
And she is the only one wearing chainmail on this planet. Everyone else is in just like shorts,
yeah,
and shorts and a t-shirt or something.
Weird costuming choice, but okay.
Yeah.
So she. You know, he's like, why'd you help me? And she's like, because you helped my grandpa. And he's like, oh, I just did it because I'm just a good guy. I didn't even know.
He's a goo guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is
he
after
was
he went
a goo
the
guy earlier.
Yeah.
The
guy made a goo.
Then we cut to a scene of Kai. And I have to point something out. He has the book, the Lost Galaxy book that got them here, and he goes and takes it and puts it on a table. And next to him on the table is the little like expanding ball that
it's like a plastic toy that people had as kids.
It's specifically it's that because Andros. There's a scene with Andros in space. As a little kid where he's using his telekinesis on one of these things. And I was just like, I wonder if that's the same one.
I bet
that's
you it
very
is.
Very funny callback.
But yeah, so he is like, okay, so this book got us here and got us into this mess and it's going to get us out. The Kionta spell, that's what Deviat read. And then they show Deviat using a spell from this book, which is what got them into the Lost Galaxy.
This scene is the most himbos trying to do magic.
This is the funniest shit. I love it so much.
How do we reverse the spell?
It's like, here's the thing. Kai is too smart to think of this solution because he's like,
Yeah, he's a reverse himbo. Like, he's too smart, so he becomes dumb.
Well, he's like, I don't know how to reverse this spell. The spell didn't work. But there must be, like, another spell in here to cancel the other spell. And then Leo's like, no, reverse the spell. Now, keep in mind, only they have said reverse the spell. That's not, like, a riddle they're trying to solve. And then Leo's like, reverse the spell, that's it. And he writes down the text of the spell backwards.
Like Zatanna from DC Comics.
Yes, uh-huh. And then they say it backwards, and that does it. Now,
Leo's selling of how in awe of this magic and how scared he is amazing, though. As they, like, start to say it backwards and there's a little bit of lightning and he just passes the pad over to Kai and kind of slinks off to the side like yes. he's afraid of what's going to happen.
It's very good. And also, this just cracks me. Can you, like, it really got me because I can't imagine. It's just so dumb. I don't think I've watched so many fucking TV shows and movies with magic words in them. And I honestly couldn't think of one where somebody's like, aha, to undo the curse, I'll just say it backwards. That'll do it. Like, it's just silly. It really got me.
They have had this book for 6 episodes, 8 episodes.
Yes, that's another
good
point.
This is the first time they're trying to do anything with it.
Yep.
I was like, oh, in an episode that I missed, they must have found out that you need to reverse the spell.
No, I'm pretty sure this book state was on the shelf. Right. The entire time. Like, they just didn't even bother.
Please remember, they also only have one day of fuel left before they freeze to death.
Great.
Yeah, that's not addressed in this episode, though.
No.
I guess they'll be fine once they get out of...
Did it even come up in the previously on?
I didn't watch a version with the previously on. Did they mention it, Fabi? That they're out of fuel?
They do, they do. Yes. There is a clip of that lady who I did not recognize being like...
Yeah, the politician lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, they don't mention it in the episode itself. It works.
Great. This has been an ongoing problem for the last, like, 3 episodes. That's why I keep bringing attention to it, because they have literally one day of fuel left.
Didn't mention it here. It opens the portal. We cut back to the slave planet, and there's a shot with a Swabby doing, like, kata on a rock with, like, the sun going down behind him. It's very weird, but it cracked me up. They are ushering all the slaves back to their cells because it's the end of the day. And we see Grandpa kind of, like, going to get some water. Everybody is getting their, like, small amount of allotted water. Grandpa
notices Mike jump out of line and try to hide in something that he is clearly not cleared with the girl he is attached to. That girl never gets a name, does she?
If she does, no, I don't believe so, no.
I'm not sure.
I'm
going to
call her Sabrina. Because I feel like a girl wearing chainmail under her slave costume, that's a Sabrina to me. No offense to Sabrina.
Morgan, I feel like you're basing this on someone you've known.
Her name is Haley. Really. She does get a name.
Shit.
It's Haley.
She does get a name?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sorry to all the Haleys out here.
Mike is trying to escape with Haley, and they're about to get noticed. So Grandpa sees it, and he kind of starts a big commotion where he, like, freaks out and grabs somebody else's water. Basically, everybody just saving each other and getting everybody into trouble. Barbarax says to take Grandpa to the special guest cell, which I thought was a very funny phrasing. Which, again, yes, does turn out to be stocks, as we mentioned earlier. Mike and Haley are able to get into somewhere where they're not being seen currently, and Mike gets called on his communicator and is like, all right, guys, be here in exactly 30 minutes. And Haley is like, whoa, who are you? And Mike's like, I'm not going to tell you.
No one can know
he's the Magna Defender.
Right. He says, I'll tell you later. And I'm like, what? You don't think you, like, maybe want to get this lady to trust you since, like...
No.
Like, it's just a weird call. The Swabbies lock up everybody else. And then Haley and Mike beat up a bunch of the Swabbies. They even use the chain as kind of a weapon. And then Mike uses it. Sorry, go ahead.
It's a neat fight. I like the choreography between them and kind of tying people up with a chain and then jumping over them.
Yeah, it's neat.
Before they subdue them, steal the keys, and unleash the prisoners.
Yep. They unlock everybody. We see a shot of the megaship, which I keep forgetting they have, coming up on the planet. So the Rangers are coming to the rescue. They start loading all the prisoners in. Go ahead.
I have a question about this, which is, how many prisoners are on this planet?
I mean, that's a good point. Not very many. Like, it's a bunch.
Okay.
We don't get a number.
But it's like, we see this, that slave camp in this episode, and then in the first episode it's introduced in. And, like, it's a bunch of people, don't get me wrong. It's like 100 extras or maybe even more than that. But apparently that's all of them. Like,
yeah.
So it's compared to being a planet, or even if it's like a moon or something, it's not that many people. And yeah. I guess they're going to fit them all on the megaship, yeah.
Yeah, that's my concern, is the megaship was never shown to be, like, spacious. It was shown to have a crew of, like, 7 people.
I feel like it's always been sort of like, I don't know, like the Millennium Falcon size, kind of. Like, it doesn't seem that big. But they're going to do it anyway. And they all, Mike and Haley, get back. But she runs away because she's going to go save her grandpa. And Mike goes after her. Now, here's a question. Do we think that Mike is doing this because he is into this lady? Or do we think that Mike is doing this because he's truly like a nobody left behind, like...
I think he's a nobody left behind. I think he is.
I think he is pure himbo.
Like, of course we can't leave this old man. We must sacrifice 3 lives to go get him.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because Mike, you know, he's even at the very beginning of the series, he's like the one who's jumping in the way to save people. And that's how he gets down in that chasm at the beginning. So they do find Grandpa, they get him unlocked, but they do get stopped by Barbrax on the way back, and Mike's like, all right, get back to the ship, I got this, and then he turns into the Magna Defender, and they're like, oh, damn, okay, that makes sense, and they head back towards the ship. It's a pretty cool fight with him and Barbrax. It's not super long, but it's pretty neat. He's like, Barbrax is like, so you think you can take me? And he's like, no, I don't think. I know. Because he's
in
cool in this episode.
In a fight?
Yeah, in a fight. Wait, what would you be? What else? What other way is there?
You can take him.
Yeah. A big bull.
I can take on 3 monsters.
In a carnal way.
I see. I gotcha.
In a sexual...
Fabi, get your mind out of the dungeon.
Yeah. Never. I live in the fucking dungeon.
Out of the stocks. So
God. Don't turn me on.
They show everybody... they're passing out blankets to them, like they're like, you know, saving them from like the ocean or something.
I'm willing to accept that the spaceship is probably colder than the desert planet.
Than the desert planet they've been in, yeah.
I will say that they are pretty packed in here, so at least it's not like they're not showing like, oh yeah, it's super big. But they're getting everybody, you know, safe and situated. But Haley is looking around for Mike and realizing that he's not there. The Rangers are getting ready to take off. And they do take off. I don't think they realize Mike's not there.
They don't.
And then
it comes up later.
Captain Mutiny and Deviant see the Rangers taking off. Captain Mutiny turns his arm into a cannon, and he's going to shoot at them, but he gets shot in the back by a Magna Defender,
and then he just jumps out Magna Defender.
Yes.
It is not a epic battle. He just shoots, and then Magnum Defender gets beaten so hard he demorphs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, most of the time, like, the main bad guy, they don't really ever fight in like, one-on-one. Almost always, they're supposed to be strong enough that that doesn't really work.
Which is very funny with which comes up later.
Yes. That said, I do actually like Captain Mutiny. I enjoy his episodes have not been great, but he after he Magnet Defender shoots him in the back, he's like, good, the Rangers are out of firing range. And Captain Mutiny's like, well, they might be, but you aren't. And then he shoots him with a huge gun. And yeah, it beats him up so bad he gets demorphed. And then he falls all the way down this big hill, and he goes, hey, Magnet Defender, did you have a nice trip? And that
doesn't even complete the joke.
No, he doesn't. My dad used to say that joke to me, which if you have not heard it, it's have a nice trip, see you next fall when you trip and fall. But he said it was one of those things where, like, he said it to me when when I was so young that it never registered to me as a joke until I was like 25 and I heard it again. It was like, oh, I see. It's a pun. they just leave Mike there for dead, I guess. They just walk away because they're gone, and we see Mike getting visited by
the Force Ghost of the other Magnet Defender.
The Force Ghost and or Morphin Grade Ghost of the original Magnet Defender, who's like, hey, you must
get
shit
up. To do.
Yeah, get your shit together.
Greatest mission lies ahead. And Mike gets up, and we then see the portal is apparently closing too fast for them to get through it. Oh no. And this is the second thing in that, like, after the magic spell that you have to break by reversing it, this is the second trope that is solved by something so stupid. I couldn't believe it. Because first, Haley goes onto the bridge and tells the Rangers that Mike's not going to make, or Mike didn't make it. And then you see Mike and his Toro Zord flying past the window of the Terra Venture. And he
just takes the worst flying pose.
It's really
worst
funny.
Flying pose I've seen since Puma Man.
It's is he just standing up?
Do you know what Cybertron Soundwave looks like?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the pose.
Do you know who I'm married to? Yes.
And I am asking because I just want to make sure. I didn't know if Zach would know. But that is the exact pose where you're kind of leaned over a little bit forward.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah.
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 And just stock still. And they are just dragging that across the keyframe.
Yes. But Mike stands in the portal and holds it open. Now,
for
I want
like
to be clear.
2 seconds.
When I say portal, I just mean like, you know, like your standard magic portal. It has never been to my understanding that those things have sides that you could like hold open. But in this case, Mike holds open the portal with the Toro Zord for as Morgan says, like 2 seconds, and then his whole Zord gets exploded. And I guess that held it open for long enough for some reason. I'm not really sure why. It's kind of a cool sacrifice thing for Mike.
It's conceptually very cool.
It is. I just was still recovering from like physically holding a big magic space portal open. It just really cracked me up. But they get through it, the Terra Venture and the megaship, and everybody's like, oh boy, we're back in our home galaxy. We made it. And then, oh, whoops, oh no, the,
Captain Mutiny's weird pirate ship has also made it through.
Right.
And great, but Captain Mutiny being like, I will conquer the new galaxy, ha ha ha, immediately is overheard by somebody in a separate spaceship.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Well, it was an open channel.
Yeah. Okay, so he's just broadcasting to the new galaxy.
He's just broadcasting himself 24/7.
Okay.
See, he has been... The thing is, he has been in a galaxy where there's no one else. At best, if he broadcasts himself, someone hears and goes like, what the fuck? And then he captures them and makes them slaves.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So, like, he's used to always having comms open.
Okay. I'm willing to accept this.
You were saying no one else is around, so he accidentally hit the comms button like 1,000 years ago, and it just never came up.
Never turned off.
No, he has his comms open on purpose because he's like, worst case scenario, someone hears us, and that's a new slave.
I see. I thought it was like when the old person driving in front of you leaves their turn signal on for like 10 miles.
It can be two things.
Yeah, it can be two things. Trakina is here. That's right. She overheard him and immediately kills him. Welcome back.
Great nails.
She has great nails. Honestly, pretty good makeup, but also it just kills me that it's very, I guess she was just sitting there in space, because it's the second he comes out of that portal. It's really odd. And also, the Ranger, the Terra Venture is not there anymore, so like, how long, Mike had to sacrifice himself to keep it open, but it wasn't, there wasn't that much time between the Rangers and Captain Mutiny, but the Rangers are gone by the time Captain Mutiny I don't understand.
So what you're saying is they probably could have made it through the portal without Mike's noble sacrifice.
Mike's noble
sacrifice left it open long enough that, say, half an hour later, Captain Mutiny could go through and make his declaration.
Right, he actually
about
made it
conquering
worse.
The new galaxy.
I'm just kidding. It's just, I was just confused. I don't know for 100% certainty that they're dead, but the whole castle explodes.
There's only two episodes left of the series.
Yeah, so I assume that, and
he's not in the preview for next episode.
Right, and also we know that, they already used the footage from the what originally was the finale, so probably they don't have any more Captain Mutiny footage, so he's probably dead. speaking of Mike's noble sacrifice, once again proving friend of the show Mira correct, there I guess is air in space because... Leo is just sort of searching around the area where the portal was much later and is like, in his little space go-kart, and he's like, he's gotta be around here somewhere, and he just sees Mike floating in space, unconscious, with unmorphed, no protection, and is just like, there he is, and Mike's fine now.
Yeah, except his morpher is destroyed.
Yes, his morpher is busted, and he doesn't have a Zord, he's okay, but he's
okay, folks.
He's okay, but he will not. He did sacrifice his powers, but he's all right. So, he wakes up to Haley and Leo. He's like, oh, you made it. And she's like, that's right, I'm free. Thanks to you. I'm just sorry you don't have your superpowers anymore. And Mike's like, nope, that's what the powers are for. And I thought that was kind of sweet.
And then the Mega Defender shows up again and is like,
yes.
Yo, you did good.
Yep, he's like, you defended the legacy of the Magna Defender powers honorably. And that's it. That's the episode. So I think it's pretty fun. I thought this was a pretty fun episode, and I think good.
It was serviceable. It was just as good as most episodes of the Netflix live action Avatar. Okay. I think they're off a par.
Good.
The one thing I do like about the Netflix live action Avatar, sometimes it's nice to watch TV without white people.
Mm. That's very fair. I think that's one thing they did.
That was a refreshing yep. change.
I honestly think that's one thing they did 100% correct. Because a lot of the voice cast in the cartoon is white, and that's a whole thing that we could get into. But I think that part they did a good job on for sure. That is the episode. I thought it was pretty fun. It certainly was an improvement over the previous couple. So I'm glad that we got a pretty fun one. And then we've got a three-part finale coming up. So, we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, I do have a couple questions from people. I said, it's finally time to escape the Lost Galaxy. Ask us about heroic sacrifices, force ghosts, Deus Ex villains, which I meant to, instead of Deus Ex Machina, but then I realized that probably just sounded like from the video game Deus Ex. Whoops.
Yeah, who's your favorite villain from Deus Ex?
I've never played any of those games.
Big evil computer AI.
Yeah, I like in that first game where if you're mean to a child, the child fights you. So you're the villain.
Is that true?
Yes.
I played the last two. I played the first one of the last two they made.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you have to go get something from a police station. They make it pretty clear that all the people in there are not actually bad. Just have to get something in there. But also, your non-lethal takedown is on a battery, and you can only do it twice. And I didn't have any of the battery power-ups. And I was like, guess I either have to kill everybody in here that they just told me wasn't bad people, or I just stop playing.
Two games are very interesting in design-wise. They both have very interesting ideas and concepts and flaws.
I like that there was a boss fight. I think there are two boss fights in the first one where if you read a memo...
Yeah.
In the starting area, you can just kill bosses by saying their shutdown.
By just
phrase.
Being like, "Hey, I know this information you care about."
That's kind of cool.
There is specific shutdown phrases for some of the villains, and you're just like, banana peel, and they're like, "Fuck."
Well, no, it's more like, "Hey, this thing you care about. Let me tell you something that makes you not want to fight me." And they're like, "Okay, yeah."
Well, there you go. Cool.
I haven't played those games in ages.
I just remembered.
Murray really likes them, so
there you go.
We talk about them a lot.
GC, a bomb.
And then I also asked to ask us about mysterious spell books. So we got a couple questions. Eric, our editor, wonderful editor, thank you, Eric, asks, at the end of Return of the Jedi, should Anakin's Force ghost be old or young? I know that this is a big, point of contention. Mm-hmm. I think it's I don't care about most of the special edition changes. I really don't. I do think that's sort of weird. If you don't know, in the special edition, they made it so, or not special edition, in the
later releases, they
way
replaced
later re-releases. Yeah.
The random actor that they hired just to play adult Anakin Skywalker with Hayden Christensen.
I think it's doesn't matter. I think it's fine because, we didn't know the other actor, and so from the perspective of Luke, it doesn't matter between them.
Yeah.
And for the perspective of the audience, you know one of them as that dude, so it's fine.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go that far, you probably should have put in Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
See, I disagree with that because we know that we just saw that movie. We know the actor.
Right.
I think what they should have done, it should have just been Darth Vader. Just yeah. Just fucking
see,
Darth
I'd be
Vader
okay with that.
As a Force Ghost.
The reason I don't like it as Anakin or as Hayden Christensen is because it, and I know that they weren't trying to imply this, but to me it's like, oh, look, now he in his Force Ghost form, he actually is the version of him before he did any of the bad things. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's weird. I don't care that much, though. But that's why I don't like that version.
Darth Vader, or Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker, does not know Luke Skywalker.
Right. What they should do is make another version where they use the current age, old Hayden Christensen, and put him in there.
The question here is a philosophical one.
Okay.
When you see a Force ghost, who do you see? Do you see who that person wants you to see, or do you see that person as you remember them?
You see them. You see them as they want to be seen. Is my reading on that? Because
yeah, I don't know if there's like an actual answer, but I think those are the two possible answers.
Oh God! And I think I'm taking the moral stance on that, saying it's what they want, but it is because they are manifestations of the living force or of the cosmic force. God, I listened to a bunch of whatchamacallit, more civilized age. I should remember which one's
gotcha.
Which.
I have not listened to that, but I should.
Whatever the one is that you have to learn about to project a Force ghost, because you have to learn how to be a Force ghost.
Yeah, that was a technique that they learned.
It's not an innate thing.
Yeah.
If you have that ability, then you are projecting yourself, and therefore
so it would be hell.
The receptacle, who also has to get taught to be able to talk to you.
Interesting.
The receptacle, I would think, because
to be called a receptacle.
Because it is the force. Because it is your interpretation of the energies of the universe.
It would
you'd
be
look
like
whatever
you
they thought you looked like.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to be honest. I was just going with regular ghost rules. And I was like, it should be like what they looked like when they died. And so,
listen, in this house we listen to G canon. Okay. So I don't know what you want from me.
Because you know that regular ghosts, that's the rules, because otherwise, like, old-timey ghosts would probably,
otherwise,
like, update their looks.
Otherwise, all the ghosts would be sexy ghosts?
Well, I was just going to say they would maybe not be wearing, like, Victorian clothes, which they always seem to be. They'd be in, like, a t-shirt.
I mean, it depends.
The
like,
way ghosts
some old
work,
people still dress like they did 50 years ago.
As we all know, the way ghosts work is that they're a psychic image embedded in the fracture of our reality.
Okay.
So the usually the psychic image they leave is of the moment they die. Sometimes some ghosts are so powerful psychically that they can change the way they're perceived.
Okay.
And I thought ghost type was weak to psychic type.
Listen, sometimes people are so psychically perceptive that they can see ghosts and have some influence.
I just want to know,
aren't I like really good at talking bullshit?
People I just want to know why I don't ever see ghosts of people who died in like 2002 wearing JNCOs, ghost JNCOs.
Because they're ashamed of their JNCOs, and so they're just like, no, I'm going. My fashion is
no one dies wearing JNCOs, actually.
They make you immortal.
Yeah.
I would think they would make you trip and die a lot more frequently, because, you know.
Nope,
I don't know.
Nope.
Have you ever seen a ghost wearing JNCOs? Checkmate, liberal.
Okay, good. All right, next question. Nobody.
You wanted me on this fucking show.
I did. I'm so glad you're here. I missed you so much. nobody asks. And in the modern Deus Ex games, see, I was right, the real villain is the Illuminati. Which ranger team would be best at fighting the Illuminati? Here's the problem. They're all stupid, so none of them would be very good at fighting a, like, Power Rangers are good spoilers, at shooting big, obvious bad guys. That's what they're good
spoilers,
at.
Spoilers, RPM.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Basically.
No, I agree with you wholly. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the RPM.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You are good and valid and very intelligent.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You got it. I don't think they call it the Illuminati, but that's basically what they're fighting.
No, it's Alphabet.
Alphabet, yeah, that's right.
Alphabet, mm-hmm. Which is also, it's almost the same of type of bullshit. Yeah. Of like, we are every leather, we are the Alphabet.
I'm sure Power Rangers, like, fans have put this together, but I just remembered that RPM is about fighting evil AI, and Google's parent company is called Alphabet now. Uh-huh. That's pretty good. I didn't know
That's grim.
I didn't think about that. Nobody also asks, if you found a spell book that was actually magical but definitely cursed, would you risk the curse to get some spells? I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I would.
How magical. It depends, right? If this is a fucking Necronomicon with human skin and a face, I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't care how good the spells are.
Yeah.
There's a dude's face. If it's just like, oh, I feel like some energy, but there's not like a person's face, I'll at least skim it.
Yeah, if it is not tanned in human skin. I think tanned in human skin is the cutoff point.
Yeah, as long as the curse is like relatively proportionate to the, so like if it's a magic book that teaches me how to use mage hand, like light telekinesis,
You always feel a hand on the back of your back.
That's
it. You always feel a ghost hand holding you because that's where the mage hand goes when you're not using it.
Fine then. I would be okay with that. But if it's like, it teaches me mage hand, but like, whoops, it unleashes the undead.
All your teeth fall off.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want that either. Yeah. Then that's not worth it. So they got to be proportionate. But if I can cast magic, I mean, I'm going to at least try it. M of Healy asks, what kind of magic would you have in your mysterious spell book? So I guess I'll just say, we kind of talked about this relatively recently, but if you could do like one spell, what kind of what spell would you want it to be? It doesn't have to be like what would you want to be able to do with your magic?
Stop my anxiety.
Oh, God.
That's a pretty good one.
Calm person on myself.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The way I know I'm old is that if you're a D&D nerd, like I feel like an icebreaker is like, what stat would you max? And when I was younger, I would be like strength or dexterity. And now I'd be like wisdom. So that I would stop having anxiety attacks.
That's fine. I don't know if that actually works, but if it does, let me know.
I will let you know as soon as I figure out how to max it. I honestly think I said mage hand, and I honestly, if I get like one magic spell, the ability to move shit around without getting up off the couch would be pretty good.
I mean, the actual answer is something I've thought of all my life. I would like the ability to either A, stop time.
I mean, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And honestly, and I would use it to sleep.
Stop time, sleep,
wake up, restart time. It's a thing I always wanted, even as I was a child. Like, I need
more time in the day.
I need to sleep, but I need more time in my life. Or like, the ability to... not travel through time, but like fast forward time.
Yeah, control the rate of time.
Yeah. Yeah, listen. Okay. Yes, time magic. Give me time magic. Nothing bad has ever happened with time magic.
No, that's true. Do you have one, Morgan?
Let me throw the trans one out there of like polymorphing and stuff like
that. It's a really good one. Yeah.
It's a really useful one.
Hey, that's totally valid. I think at this point in my life, if I get rid of the anxiety, I'll be fine. Yeah.
Fair enough. And Jeremy asks, what's your biggest disappointment with Lost Galaxy? I think...
it's still going, man. It's so long.
Well, we also... this is the season we switched to every other week, but so that's part of
it. No, but still, like... Yeah.
No, I think also this last arc has just kind of dragged because there have been a lot of just nothing happens episodes. There have been far too many times where we have watched an episode and they have summoned all of the little teeny Zords that merge into the big Zord, and then they do it a second time.
Yeah, there's a lot of filler. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is always a Power Rangers thing, but I think it really...
They're laying it on thick here.
There's whole, like, arcs in this that, like, this would be a pretty good, like, 20-episode season, and it's 45 or something like that. And I think that's my biggest... Like, I guess if I could... The best episodes in both this and in space are episodes that sort of feel like a Star Trek episode. Yeah. And I feel like there's more of those in space. So instead of...
Weirdly enough, you would think it'd be otherwise, but yeah.
Yeah. So like, I was sort of hoping this season would kind of refine the in space thing. And I think instead it's gotten slightly worse. So that would be kind of my big disappointment.
The core issue is they keep on trying to do space things with seasons that kind of don't have anything to do with space, even though...
Right. Yes.
Even though the Japanese Sentai is Ginga Man, you know, which is Universe Man, let's call it, it's still about space magic, not necessarily going to space. And so there's been a lot of, well, we as Power Rangers want to go to space, but none of the footage holds up to this. Right. So we still have all of our fights on planets.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, at first my big disappointment was like, oh, they're not doing that much with the space station thing. But like, I honestly think they've done a decent job considering all their footage is, like, is not in space. I think that they've done okay with that. It's more the... inconsistency with, like, good episodes.
I don't think they've used the space station theming well, though, insofar as the most space station themed episodes that we have had are specifically the ones that are the space station is breaking down. And that's while true. They keep saying it at the beginning and end of the episode,
it doesn't factor into the rest anything. Of the episode. Yeah, yeah, that's fair. So there's a couple things, but, it's not been all bad. This was a pretty fun one. So, we'll see how the finale goes. I'm excited to see how that goes and then see, the next season. So, with that, Fabi, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. You're probably familiar and aware of File and Playtest. It's an actual play podcast I do with some people here in the network. We are wildly approaching endgame for Disco and Ska in a way. We are in book two. It's a good show. You should watch it. You should listen to it.
Like and subscribe. If you want go on more, Patreon.
Yeah. You can get a bunch of extra stuff, including us talking about a space movie for the $1 tier, I believe. You will get access to us talking about Contact, and that was real fun. But if you're like, I want more rewatch shows, and with Fabi for some freaking reason,
we love Fabi
on
the show.
Guess what, my friend, you are in luck. For $1, you get access to all the episodes of Ultra Hulumbo. You get the first episode for free. Patreon.com/UltraHulumbo, where me and my wife Marie, an occasional special guest, we are watching every single episode in chronological release order of Doctor Who, Ultraman, Columbo, and Kamen Rider. With some extra stuff, we watched a bunch of Godzilla movies. We bunch a lot of early Tokusatsu movies. We watched a couple Lucha Libre movies because all of this is a speculative science fiction and genre TV and movies of the time. And we are on the second season of Doctor Who, still with the first Doctor. Bicky got here a couple weeks ago. We just put up an episode on the romance with Nero. I was very disappointed Nero wasn't an anime girl. The internet has lied to me. you should go listen to us. It's a fun time. It's mostly just me and Marie shooting the shit and talking about... if for $1 a month you get to see the hell spreadsheet that Marie has done, where she has everything we're gonna watch.
It's pretty impressive.
It's like 500 pages. It's hell. It's worth the admission. And if you're like, I'm not sure, listen to the first episode and wait, because once we get to the second Doctor, we're gonna make all the episodes of the first Doctor free. But that'll probably be maybe a year, so maybe don't wait too long.
There you go. Cool. Morgan, is there anything you'd like to pitch to people?
Not really. Go out there, read stuff that resonates with you, and maybe sometimes you find something you never thought you would enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I need to talk to you about a Zoe Storm thing. We can do it off the podcast.
Yeah, let's wrap up and then we can talk about it.
Go listen. Go read Zoe Storm shit. Read the Transition Zone.
I have a couple. Transition Zone, as you're suggested from her?
Yes, because there's a book, new book version.
Hold on. Stop. For Teenagers with Attitude, I have been Zach.
From the dungeon, I've been Morgan.
And I meant to say to own the lives, not transition zone. I'm very tired. I've been Fabby.
And may the power protect you always. Okay, now y'all talk
like
about
it. Now we can talk about stuff as the music starts.
It's a good one, but I was thinking to own the lives.
Okay, Zoe Storm is definitely somebody who's come up thanks to the Trans Christmas Anthology. And so I have been looking at her stuff, but I have been
so I can give you a reading word.
Deeply mired.
I can give you a reading order if you want, because some of her stuff is like connected to each other.
Okay.
But it doesn't really matter. I would say